Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, health coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and author. The title is More About Healthy Sleep Cycle, because last week we talked about this healthy sleep cycle. I just give you the highlights real quick so I can continue. And if you want to hear exactly what we said, you can go to the archived show from last week. So we did cover, are you getting enough sleep from non-sick to sick? So what exactly is sleep anyway? Why we get sleepy? Sleepless on planet Earth. The habits of healthy sleep. Then we started a sleep assessment. And part one that we covered was the quantity of sleep. How much sleep do you get? And then I gave you 9 questions to answer and journal about. That was on February 22nd. And the questions were, what time did you get into bed last night? What time did you get out of bed in the morning? What hours did you actually sleep? And remember, I gave you a formula on how to figure that out. Did you take a nap? If yes, for how long? Did you consume alcohol? How much and at what time? Did you exercise? How long and at what time? Did you drink coffee or other caffeinated beverages? How much of each and at what time? What hours did you watch television? And did you take any medications and at what time? So that is just to quickly recap on what I talked about last week. Today I want to continue with part two, with the quality and how restful is your sleep, which actually started last week with the journal, with the 9 questions that I just read. So steps to healthy sleep. Continuing from last week, there are 3 major steps and several sub-steps. Above, we created a baseline from the sleep assessment. Now, let's work on improving the quantity and quality of your sleep. We'll start by finding out how your brain is programmed so we can help return it to its default mode, the sleep mode. Step 1. Find your chronotype, and I'm going to make it very simple. It actually has to do with, are you a night owl or are you a morning person? And your chronotype reflects whether you wake up early and are active and alert in the first part of the day, or prefer to stay up late and are most alert in the evening. Most people are not totally one or the other, but somewhere in between. When you get most of your sleep during the wrong time of the day for your chronotype, it's harder to get the rest you need. Morning and evening types require about the same amount of sleep. However, knowing which type you are helps you figure out your habits of health easier, so you get a more restful sleep. Step 2 is to set a bedtime. Decide when you need to get up, then count backwards. The guidelines are 7 hours for women, 8 hours for men. But again, those are guidelines only. Find out what works best for you. That's when you should be asleep. So, again, if you need 7 hours and you need to get up at 6 in the morning, 6 minus 7 is 11. And then how long does it take you to get asleep? I would say you need to go to bed by 10 to get your 7 hours of sleep with everything else that goes with it. So your bedtime is the time when your lights go off. All electronic devices are turned off. The alarm clock is turned around so you cannot see the dial. It's only a distraction. And then you focus on things that you don't really need to focus on, and you waste precious sleep. Once you are in the habit of going to bed and getting up every day at the same time, your body will get used to it and you will start waking up a few minutes before the alarm goes off and being totally refreshed, happy, and healthy. And I start noticing that with me, and it's so amazing when I beat the alarm clock and I am so happy. I enjoy just looking outside the window and I see the sunshine coming up. And oh man, what a nice way this sets for a great and beautiful day. Step three is set your routine. We know that today's chaotic schedules mean that for the most part, we sleep only when our inability to function forces us to sleep. But with a little planning, you can change the behaviors that are sabotaging your sleep. In fact, from the moment you wake up, you can start preparing to sleep better that very night. So I have some tips here for certain things that are going to help you figure out what's going on. And we're going to the daytime right now. The first thing for daytime is, of course, getting out of bed. Once you wake up, get up. Don't linger in bed and turn around and toss and whatever. Just when you wake up, get up. Limit your time in bed for sleeping and lovemaking to avoid sending wrong signals to your brain. The next part or tip is to limit your caffeine. Give up tea and coffee except for your morning cup. Avoid all caffeine afternoon. Make sure you're totally caffeine-free at least 3 hours before going to bed. Yes, caffeine is a stimulant. And it makes your brain work harder and harder instead of letting it go and rest so you can actually sleep well. Next tip, eat responsibly. Avoid eating within 3 hours of sleeping. If you really need something before bed, try a small glass of skim milk or chamomile tea. For optimal sleep, eliminate high glycemic foods throughout the day and avoid large, energy dense or fatty meals in the evening. A small fueling or portion controlled meal replacement is fine. There are lots of those out there. And if you need more help, just let me know and I can help you with it. Next tip is say no to naps. Children need more sleep than they can get in a night. But for us adults, napping is a recipe for sleep disruption, especially if you doze off for longer than an hour. If you're so tired that you need to nap, avoid high glycemic and fatty foods at lunch and schedule your sleep time a little earlier. That being said, a short 5-minute power nap won't hurt as long as your boss doesn't catch you. That's a good one. So glad I'm my own boss. At night, the tips are, the evening is your time. Plan it wisely. When coming home from work, make a mental note of any tasks or activities that need to be done. Prepare for the evening and bedtime. Decrease stimulation. Lower your lights a few hours before bedtime. Shut off TV 30 minutes before bedtime. Stop emailing and surfing the internet. Turn off loud music and start relaxing your brain. That's all at the latest 30 minutes before bedtime. Then another great tip, and it works with me, it works amazingly, is eliminate cell phone use. Research shows that radiation from the phone can stimulate your brain and interrupt sleep. A study at Wayne State University concluded that people who used their cell phones in the evening took longer to fall asleep and experienced more headaches. If you must talk on your cell phone in the evening, use a headset and turn it off at least 2 hours before you plan to fall asleep. My newest thing is I put it on airplane mode. And I turn down the volume to zero. So the only thing I can hear is in the morning my alarm going off. And I usually am awake just a couple of minutes before it goes off, and it's nice music. So it's just kind of awesome. I get deep sleep. Minimize liquid intake. Getting up to go to the bathroom is a common sleep disruption. If you find this happening to you, avoid drinking anything 2 hours before bed and make sure to empty your bladder just before turning in. Also, avoid exercise within 2 hours of bedtime. Any other time of day, exercise is a good thing, helping increase the body's natural chemicals that induce sleep. However, it's too stimulating right before sleep. Make sure you're not sacrificing sleep time for exercise by getting up too early. Giving up some TV time instead leaves you with room in your schedule for exercise and no negative consequences. Take your medications. If pain or allergies keep you up, make sure you take your medications an hour before bedtime so they have time to reach effectiveness. A hot bath can help pain relievers such as ibuprofen get to those sore muscles quicker. Of course, check with your doctor before taking any medication. Avoid alcohol within 90 minutes of bedtime. Alcohol is actually a stimulant and can suppress normal sleep patterns. When used to induce sleep, it can cause you to wake up in an arousal state and make healthy sleep difficult to come by. If you're finding it hard to get to sleep, you may even want to try skipping the drink with dinner. Resolve family issues. Arguments with your spouse, logistical concerns about getting the kids to school, the to-do lists for the next day. All these issues should be resolved before sleepy time. Never go to bed mad. Sleepy time. This is your time to leave the rest of the world behind. By developing your own personal sleep ritual, one that stays the same each night, you create a conditioned response that tells your body, your brain, and everyone else that you're going off duty. You send the message that just click like a closed ticket window, you and your neurons are simply no longer available, unless the house is on fire. Hopefully never. Prepare your bedroom, another good point. Make your bedroom calm, relaxing, and stress-free. When your partner snores or has restless legs, get him or her to the doctor. Preparing yourself for the bedtime. Take some time for yourself. Wash your face. Get rid of the toxins on your face. Floss and brush your teeth. If you have time, take a shower or a bath. Research shows that when your temperature comes down, the body gets sleepy. If you wear bed clothes, make sure they are comfortable and loose-fitting so you won't be restrained or overheated. Getting into bed. Once you're in bed and ready to get sleepy, keep things calm. Meditate. Breathing techniques. Relax. Read a book or a relaxing book. Cuddle with your partner. Turn off the lights. In creating an environment for sleep, some tips to make your bedroom comfortable and sleep-induced are color, light, scents, your bed, the mattress that you have, your temperature. Make sure your bed doesn't get too hot or too cold. Ventilation and clutter. Make sure it's clutter-free. So those are just some really quick things that I wanted to share with you. The gift is, of course, in the hyperlink in blue, so you can check that out. And my contact information is, as always, email dythomson@gmail.com. And to text and voicemail, 562-335-4956. And your questions, suggestions, and input are greatly appreciated. I'm going to say until next week when we talk again, stay healthy, happy, and empowered. And please let me know what you think. If it's way too fast, way too much, tell me what you want repeated or what you want more elaborated on. For me, these things are now common nature, but for you, it might be new. So this is for you. Let me know how I can make it better. Bye.